We ready to go?
I think I'm ready.
Why not?
Live from Kakariko Village. Throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting a Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet, the Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Now here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Thank you and welcome to the Retro Zoo Super Show. I am one of your hosts, Kai, and we have some special guest with us today.
Thank you, Kai.
Not you, Drum. You know, okay, it's actually kind of weird. I don't know what to call y'all in real life because we use 15 different names for one another.
You can call me Jeff.
You should use every one of my 15 names. I'm Ken.
We say that because we all pretty much just met on... Well, I mean, not really. I was going to say Twitch, but Twitter, in the gaming world in general. And so we... started out all just using gamer tags for one another, and then character names, and then yeah, all sorts of stuff. So welcome. Why do I have y'all on?
That's a good question. Why are we here?
I think I just stumbled into this stream.
I just got a little invite that I clicked yes to.
That, well, see, that's your problem. Actually, that'd be a great way to find guests for the show, wouldn't it?
Just cold emails.
It's like, click here. Yes, what did you want? You're live. No, we are. For the last couple of episodes, I've been hinting that we are coming upon the date where an actual play podcast featuring moi will be released, and we are upon that date.
Wait, who's moi?
Yes, so. That's where we are here. We've got, should we just drop it right now, the podcast name?
Well, yeah, so it's out. I mean, well, okay, so people who are watching us live on Twitch, this is pre-recorded, except if you're on Twitch. So it's going to be out tomorrow for those who are live on Twitch, but for those listening to the podcast, it is out. It's out
there.
It's
out
released.
And live. You can check it out at diceanddreary.com.
Which is also the name of the podcast, without the .com part.
Yes, we're not a .com podcast.
And you should spell that out.
That is DICEANDDREARY.
So
for
those
of us who are spelling challenged.
Right. So I, for one, am just tremendously excited about this because we've been working on this for 5 straight years.
Has it been 5? I thought it was 6.
It's been that long already?
Oh, goodness. It's, yeah, we've, do we have any idea how many episodes we've actually already recorded?
Yes, we have recorded... I'm trying to think right now. We are going to be starting session 7 this Friday, which is the day the podcast, this podcast comes out. Is that correct? Too many podcasts to keep track of.
Yes.
So we'll be starting session 7, and we're averaging about 2 episodes per session. So we're about 14 episodes deep into this campaign.
Yeah. So what's going to be kind of cool about us talking about it now is this, I'm glad we're doing it like this, because if we had recorded this back when we recorded session 1, we would be talking about our characters in a much different way than we'd be talking about them today, because my character has not turned out anything like I expected him to. And so it's been kind of fun actually listening back to like episodes 1 through 4 and going, wow, okay, yeah, I was setting up some stuff there that I never came through on because my character took a left turn.
Yeah, it seems to always end up that way.
So, Jeff, you are the DM, so the honor goes to you to kind of explain what this actual play podcast is.
Okay. Not prepared, but here we go. That's usually how sessions go.
Someone wouldn't give us a question in advance.
Yeah, and both of you asked for questions in advance, and I kept telling you, I was like, I don't write out questions. I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
Well, that's actually good, because this is similar to a lot of the sessions where I have a loose idea in mind and then we just go for it and it never turns out the way I had in my mind, which is a good thing, I think. But we are playing Curse of Strahd, which is the 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign. I guess adventure? I don't know if they use the word campaign, but it's a very long adventure, very dense world, and pretty much started off just by the book, and have deviated a couple times and hope to deviate some more as we continue on and make this story our own. For those of you who don't know, Curse of Strahd is sort of a remake, but also an expansion of an original, I believe, original D&D, it might have been second edition, Dungeons & Dragons adventure known as Ravenloft. I believe I6 was the code for the adventure. And that one was meant to be played in just a few sessions.
You know the code?
All of the old D&D modules had like a letter and a number associated with them. And I don't, in some cases, the letter was the author's name or initial, and the 6 was just the number of the series. But other cases, they just weren't. They were just, it kind of categorized them. It was a way to categorize adventures and release them.
Interesting. So, but, yeah, we've definitely gone longer than a few sessions.
Yes.
And promise to go a lot longer because we are long-winded. In a good way, I would say.
Well, some of you are.
Yes, we do tend to get off topic a bit in both of what we're talking about and your party tends to get off topic quite a bit.
Yeah,
and kind of go on little side quests and explorations.
Oh goodness! Both Ken and I are player characters, which we're going to get into running a game on just 2 players in just a bit. But Ken, who is it that you play? Because I forgot to write it down, and I've been wondering since episode 1.
Let me think. I got to remember. So I'm playing Sprocket. He is a gnome artificer. So short little guy, likes to get into all kinds of trouble.
With a fantastic mustache.
He does have a fantastic mustache.
What is it, a trench coat?
Yep, he's got his trench coat of holding, his Stetson hat.
Whoa, spoiler alert.
Oh. Well, you know, not
well,
much.
Yeah. So we a little note about the artificer. That is playtest content, not official. And as of this recording, I think they're going to have an updated version of the Artificer pretty soon coming out.
25th, I think?
Yes. I think that's what I've heard. as well, and that is that's exciting because we're going to see if we're going to update the character, just stick with the Artificer as it is. But so far, I think it's been pretty good. I can't for as much as we played, but I mean, you clearly, Ken, you've had more experience with that character. Even though I'm running the game, you've been playing him, and it seems to be doing okay.
I'm having fun with him.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what was it that made you decide this was the character for you?
Well, I've typically always played warrior characters and never really been into the role playing aspect, and it's just boring. Since I started listening to other actual plays and stuff, I find generally the people that role play and get into character are, and the ones that just have interesting characters, are the generally the ones I like. So I thought I'd like to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered back an old second edition book I had was the Arms and Equipment Guide. And for some reason, a picture of a gnome wearing a tinker's vest just popped out at me.
Oh, nice.
I thought, you know, a gnome tinker might be kind of neat. So I did some research, kind of ran into the Artificer playtest material, I think concurrently with Jeff finding it. And it sounded pretty good, so I thought I'd go with it.
Very cool. All right. Well, so in this podcast game, I am playing a human ranger named Crethan, who the whole idea behind Crethan was going to be somebody who did not have a really good assessment of himself, where he thought he was good at things he was bad at and bad at things that he was actually really good at. And so, like, he's like really good at fighting, but he would always try to steer away from it because he didn't think he was very good. But he had just really terrible charisma and would give like these just horrible speeches. But he thinks that like he could persuade like, you know, demons to just, you know, become good by doing that and thus get himself into a lot of trouble. And that is not at all what's happened with that guy. He's actually just turned into and I'm having kind of a lot of fun with it. It's just like, just imagining, you know, and I don't go into this a whole lot on the podcast, but when I was in high school, I had just severe depression and was ridiculously introverted and shy, just, you know, very prone to panic, and so Gretchen's kind of become who I was kind of in high school, and what that would be like as an adventuring ranger who fights vampires. It's not turning out so good for him so far, but
he's doing fine.
So, but you know, it was kind of funny because I have been wanting to stream or play some sort of role playing game for a while. When Jeff, you were like, hey, you know, this is something I want to do. And I don't even think you asked me to join. I think I just volunteered and showed up, and you didn't have anybody else, so I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we got Ken as well.
So what was the thinking behind this one?
So I mean, part of me, I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons or other tabletop RPGs at least once a week for the past several years, with a group of friends and family online. Two of my cousins, my brother, and a friend of ours, and that was a lot of fun. I still do that every Thursday, but I wanted to do something more with that and put something out for other people to enjoy. And streaming was one option. Sometimes I think streaming might have been a better option when I look at how much editing I have to do every episode. But another kind of passion of mine is like filmmaking and editing and sound design for film, and I've done a couple short films where I've done sound design on, and so part of me too was saying I can take this game that we play, record it, and put sound in, build soundscapes from that. And that's kind of how I approached this this podcast, where it's borderline radio drama with some sound effects in there, but it's really just we're playing the game, and I'm throwing in some sound effects to kind of set the mood and accent that that feeling.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. So you always had the intention of having a bit higher production quality as far as sound goes, just from day one.
Yeah. Even when this idea was, I was thinking about a stream. I was planning on doing things to have that the same kind of atmospheric soundscape feeling come through on the stream.
That's interesting.
And so that's when I've played when I play my Thursday games and I run those games, some of the games that I run there and games in person. Mm-hmm. That I play with friends around the table and am using atmospheric sound effects. I'll use, you know, visual aids, pictures. Sometimes I've gone really wild and made little props and things. So it's Dungeons and Dragons and tabletop gaming, tabletop RPGs in particular, have always been like a multimedia thing for me. I started, you know, when I started way back in high school, and before that, maps were involved and pictures and things, but not to the level that we're at now, where I'd be sitting in my living room with a bunch of people, put on some background sound effects and or atmospheric sound and play a game, but also use, you know, the TV to bring up pictures for visual aids, have printouts and things like that. I like having physical props or enhancing the experience in general with sound effects and images.
See, okay, so that's really interesting because I kind of assumed that you got sunk into the production side of things, kind of like I did. You know, because like we had recorded a couple of episodes when I was like, hey, you know, maybe the Techno Funk Boy can do a theme song. And you're like, okay, cool. It's like, oh, we need a battle song. And then I've got like 14 tracks and I'm, you know, frantically recording. And I'm like, how did this happen? I'm not real sure about all of this.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of that too was just you made the mistake of offering.
Yeah. I have nothing, no one to blame but myself.
But I had always intended to use music, but I was going to, you know, use music I could find, free music. I was going to, you know, purchase it if I had to, you know, purchase the rights to it if I had to. But I do have to say that from the episodes I've been editing and using your music, it's a lot more robust than I had initially imagined, because I had, you know, in my mind there was going to be two songs, probably. There was going to be a theme song and then I would have a battle song.
Well, I keep composing for it because I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I think I'm really pleased with how the music's coming out, and we're going to take this opportunity to say that during the break we are going to be actually playing the first single off the soundtrack. Now, my patrons are going to get this single when this episode's released. It's going to be there on your Patreon, but for the soundtrack, you're going to have to support Dice and Dreary because we wrote this for them. We hope to have the soundtrack available later on multiple platforms, but we are going to be releasing the songs. And I'm assuming this is still the plan. We're going to be releasing the songs as they appear in episodes for download and to keep. Is that still the plan? Do I have to edit all that out?
No, I think that's the plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're gonna be playing this at the break, and eventually there will be a video for it when I get all the footage in. That's all I'm gonna say about it.
Yes, I am on the hook for some footage, but it's not as high on the list as getting a website up,
right?
Getting the podcast out for so
lower priority. For everyone, you know, this, despite our best efforts, because even when we started recording Death House, which is the first adventure, I don't think anybody intended this to be a two PC game.
No.
So how has that affected us? I mean, how has that affected the game itself and kind of how we interact with one another?
Well, from the game's standpoint, a lot of what I've had to do are things that I would have done anyways.
Drastically reduce the number of bad guys in each room.
Yeah.
And we still almost die.
Yeah, exactly.
I could tell you which battle that was, but that was embarrassing.
You imply it's one.
It has been multiple.
Yeah.
At this point. These are things that I would have done anyways. I'm a big proponent of kind of changing things a lot. I usually how I run a campaign is I will start off going by the book and just kind of let it be open to the fact that it's going to take on a path of its own. And so I will often change things up, even sometimes during a session, just kind of feeling out just how things are going. Are they going to be able to take on the encounter that is coming in the next room according to this map, that sort of thing. So there's been times when I have either just, you know, cut the number of enemies in half for what you're doing, and there have been other times where I've kept all the enemies, but I've allowed other characters to kind of step in, other NPCs, mm-hmm. Or just change tactics. But I know, so Dungeons & Dragons does have a built-in challenge rating for creatures and a whole method of properly balancing an encounter. Mm-hmm. But I think that pretty much the general consensus is it's not great. It doesn't work too well. I believe even the Dungeons & Dragons creators, Perkins and Jeremy Crawford, have said that they don't even use that when they're writing adventures.
Oh, wow.
It was really the way it's played is you pick a creature that fits for the theme or the mood that you're trying to set in that scene or in that campaign. Mm-hmm. And then you just adjust them. You basically just adjust bring their hit points down if you want the battle to go quicker. If you want the battle to stretch out, you can increase those hit points. If you want things to speed up a bit, you can increase the damage. And so these are just things that I will do to encounters. And I think just from years of being a DM and knowing that I can take a group of creatures and just double their hit points to make a battle go on a little longer, could kind of control the pacing of it. It's easy. It's an easy thing for me to do.
That's cool. So on the player side of things, how has only dealing with me and a very nice NPC that Jeff has given us for an extended period of time. I will not mention his or her name, so I'll just give away stuff. And he's probably going to kill him or her in the next episode anyways, because he's mean. how has that been? Just dealing with me all the time, 100% of the time.
Oddly enough, I think it's actually worked out.
It really has. I think so too.
The encounters have been challenging because we are hopelessly outclassed in most things.
And bad rollers.
Yeah, we roll like awful.
Except you and investigation.
Hey,
you can always count on you and investigation.
Except the one possible roll for, you know, critical to my future. For
the
score,
the most important roll of the game.
For a Sprocket's character development, yeah. Nat 1.
Gosh, it was so great.
But I like the dynamic between the two characters. We get kind of like a buddy cop thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah. You and know? I think the two characters,
one of us is clueless
very well.
Yeah. One of us is clueless. The other one has no idea what's going on and we can't tell which is which.
We change roles. It's interchangeable.
Yeah, we switch it up.
It's good constable, bad constable. We just, if it doesn't work, we switch.
And then we try to pretend, hey, let's try this. Wait, where'd Sparkett go? Get back here.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of been my reaction. It's like, I still want a third player, not because I don't think the podcast works, because it really does. I think the three of us have worked really well together. But just because I'm still more squishy than I wanted to be. I need somebody to stand in front of me.
Well, in all fairness, Curse of Strahd is a very deadly campaign to begin with. And it also is just a sandbox where you're just allowed to go wherever you want. And off the top of my head, I think you've pretty much stayed in the safer areas.
Oh, those were the safer areas.
Exactly.
Wow.
But
did you hear that? You hear that, Ken? We've stayed in the safe areas.
you've been relatively conservative. Shouldn't
have done, but we survived ish.
But it is an interesting to when the both of you discuss your next moves and where you're going. It is interesting to hear that and then just kind of like look over at the suggested levels for a four-party group and some of these and just be like, oh, that's going to be a fun session to do.
So, yeah, like what are you thinking about? What do you think about that's coming up? It might be dangerous.
Let's see. I mean, pretty much all of it. Where we are right now, I think the last session, at the end of the last session, you guys both leveled up to level 5. Mm-hmm. And for this campaign, that is not technically, it's not halfway through the story, but it is halfway through the levels that you should be by the end.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You will probably be level 10 by the time you finish. So if that gives you any indication.
Yeah, and I'm happy about that because I get the impression that Strahd is stronger than me.
Why would you say that? We almost had him.
Oh gosh. So the one spoiler that I do want to give, because I certainly haven't listened to all the actual play podcast, but I have the distinct belief, just the steadfast conviction that more actual play podcasts need a dog. And we have one, at least through episode about, 10 or so.
Yeah, a very underutilized dog, and that's on me. But
oh goodness. So and I have not asked you this, but was the dog in the book?
The dog is not in the book.
Oh, wow. You just gave us a dog. Thanks, yes. Man. Thanks, yeah. Jeff. That's awesome.
Yeah, the dog was not in the book. The dog idea I got from someone on Reddit who was talking about their experience running the game. And the dog actually was part of a story hook that just didn't go anywhere and dropped off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'm so anxious. I'm actually so anxious to finish the game just so I can, behind the scenes, you've told us a lot about what, mostly my questions are like, is that in the book? Because that could not be in the book. And most of the time you say, no, that's not. But the second this is over, I'm buying the stupid book just to see what we missed and what was not even in there to begin with, because there's so much in this adventure that we could have been doing that we haven't.
Yeah. I think I want to say if I'm going to put an episode number on it, I think it's going to be right around episode 6 or so. And I won't give too much away in terms of spoilers. But I think that is the point when things leave the book. The more than 50% of every session is not on the book. Because one through the first four episodes are Death House, which is the introduction. And then
that's the only time you're actually going to hear the original version. Because by the time he leaves Death House, he's first of all, he's dead. Forget that. but he's more jaded. He's darker. He's darker leaving the house than when he came in.
Yeah, the
Sprocket is still just as bright and cheerful as ever.
Yeah. Sprocket's a very naive character, it seems like.
He has his moments, though.
Yeah.
But don't we all? He gets a little fussy.
Yeah, naive may not be the right term. Maybe it's more just like carefree.
Yeah, I think that's fitting. Uninterested.
just doesn't care. Well, I think we were talking about something, but that's actually a really good time to jump to our break, which for those who are listening to the podcast, if you're listening on Twitch, you're going to have to wait for the podcast. On Friday, we'll release this song, but this is the single version of the theme song for the game. And so enjoy. We'll be right back. And we're back. That's the magic of radio.
Oh, wow. That was a fantastic song.
Had time to fill my drink, take a nap.
Could we actually play it again? Just one more. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, you got to join Patreon to hear it again. In fact, if you rewind this podcast, it'll just be static. I'm using a new podcasting technique that
DRM going, right?
So, I've asked you this a few times in a few different occasions. And I think we need to start doing this, not necessarily for the podcast itself, but like on Silhouette Zero. And for those who listened to the last episode, we had Chris Ng on from Silhouette Zero. At the end of every episode, his brother Matt, who's the player character, asked him, so what did I do that surprised you? And I'm kind of curious, is like, did you have any idea that Crethin and Sprocket were going to be, well, just the way they are?
No, actually. but I actually kind of like it like that. And it's part of something that I've learned, you know, as I've grown up with Dungeons and Dragons and experiment with other RPGs, is that I can't remember where I read it or saw it, but the idea of to play to find out what happens is, mm-hmm. is kind of a thing that I really latched onto in the past few years, role playing with. If I'm running a game, you know, setting out almost not actually setting out questions, but almost setting out, you know, questions to be answered in play, even if that question is, will they survive this battle? Or, you know, like what's down, what's in the unopened crypt, those sort of things. And I leave those are poor examples, but leaving those questions kind of open to find out what happens through playing. And I've done it as a player too, when I've done that, mm-hmm. where I'll create a character but leave blanks to be filled in at the table, where, you know, something could be happening, and in the moment is you get that idea of, oh, it would be really cool if this happened. And if you have a blank in your story or your notes, if you're a dungeon master, or your character, if you are a player, you can fill that in at the table in play and make it part of the game, and then it becomes canon going forward. And so that's a lot of the enjoyment as a dungeon master that I get out of the game, is not knowing what's going to happen and having those moments where it's like, oh, I didn't expect this to happen. Now I got to come up with something. And yeah,
that's interesting. Cause I speaking to that unanswered question of like, will the character survive this battle? That has been a constant unanswered question for me, because I keep asking you, hey, we have to have a season 2 of this. And so that means the characters survive, right? And your response has steadfastly been, you can create new characters. And there's been, I'm curious to know if this has happened to you, but there's been a few occasions when I'm like we're playing and I'm like trying to think of ideas for the new character because Crethin's dead. Like he's clearly not going to survive the next 5 minutes. Have you done that?
Not really. It's, you know,
you have confidence in Sprocket, because apparently I have zero confidence in Crethin.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Crethin. I just figured he'd be fine. I mean, he's got Sprocket to take care of him, so he'll be all right.
That's true. Oh, goodness.
No, I figure we'll take whatever we get. And Jeff, you know, so far seems to be mostly fair. You know, hasn't thrown too much nasty stuff at us.
Have you been paying attention?
Well, we've survived, kind of. Except for that one thing.
And the other thing. And that third.
I wasn't going to bring up that one.
I just keep telling him, and Jeff can attest to this, I've told you multiple times, if you kill the dog, the fans are going to revolt.
But then you guys get a ghost dog.
There. Ghost dog would be awesome.
Sprocket's thinking if you just wound the dog, then we get a cyborg dog.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, one of the cool elements of this is, like, you know, this is, you know, the old fashioned AD&D, you know, original stuff. And so very much medieval with a kind of Victorian Gothic flair to it. And Sprocket just kind of keeps inserting, you know, machinery and steampunk stuff and all sorts of cool gadgets. And it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that aspect of Sprocket. And it's something I've been trying to work in a bit more, and hopefully in the next couple episodes. Well, for us, for everyone else, that you're looking at episode 16 or 17 down the
16.
Road.
16. Just pay attention to 16. That's when the aliens come. Jeff didn't laugh, so I think that's actually what he has planned.
Oh, I'm just writing that down in my notes.
I was told I have to avoid politics.
Well, the to touch back on what you were saying before about thinking of your next character, the last time I played Curse of Strahd, but a couple years ago with my Thursday group, we were playing the original Ravenloft, which is just the castle, basically. Like, they were just going, they started at the doors of the castle and were going through the castle. We did that. It was for Halloween, and we had a campaign that had been going on for about a year before that. And it was, you know, Halloween weekend. I said, hey, let's play this game for 4 hours, do a quick run through the castle. During that game, shortly before that, a player had come to me and said that they were feeling like unhappy with the way their character was behaving, not behaving, but like working out. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about wanting a new character. So we devised a plan where that entire adventure, that character had already died, but was there with the group, ended up revealing themselves as Strahd. And the entire time was Strahd in disguise as that character trying to tear the party apart from within. And that ended up being one of the most fun I've ever had playing a game, was when the players were pitted against each other. But that was just an interesting anecdote, and a bit of an interesting experience as a DM, giving up control of the main villain to one of the players and just saying, go for it. Have fun. Do whatever you want to do. Do it. I'll roll with it.
Jeff, you were supposed to tell him.
Ken, yeah, you want to talk about that? What was just said right there? What he just said? You want to talk about that?
Talk about what?
That would be pretty cool. If it's the dog, I'm going to be so pissed.
The dog has been Strahd the whole time.
Yeah, and if it's Crescen, Sprocket would be like, yeah, whatever.
Sprocket already knows.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he's like, duh.
Makes sense. All right, so there's two more things I want to do before we depart for the day. The first is I want us to kind of give the listeners an idea of this place. This land is called Barovia, where Strahd inhabits and rules. And what's it like there?
Well, it's very gloomy. It almost always is raining. There are some times when it's not sunny, but at least not raining. Always overcast, never direct sunlight.
Yeah, that's come back to bite us.
Mm-hmm. We're in Seattle.
It's almost like a perpetual fall is kind of what I have in my mind, where think of a gloomy fall day, like after all the leaves have changed and have started to fall. So it's not bright and colorful. It's just gloomy, gray, wet, cold. And it's just like that all the time.
What do the people sound like?
The people have poor imitations of Eastern European accents.
I thought they have perfect Barovian accents.
Exactly. Barovia. It's exactly what Barovia accent is, but it's, you know, it's just bad. It just sounds like a bad Eastern European accent to us.
So like, what does that sound like?
Oh man, you're going to put me on the spot and make me do it.
He has to prep for hours for this normally.
Yeah. Usually when I'm driving home, before I do, I do some practice voices in the car.
Do you do that? Cause, Chris Ng said that he did that.
Yeah.
Like he works up his all of his, and he does, Chris, if y'all didn't hear it, and the listeners definitely should listen back, but Chris does a single player game where it's one player character, and then he does like three or four NPCs that travel with that character, and each one has a different accent, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, I've heard it. Does he do practice it in the car too? Is that
yeah? Those three NPCs and. Any other NPCs that are going to come along. It's a Star Wars RPG. And so, you know, there's a template for these different races, how they talk. And so he practices them on his commute. And they come out pretty great. So, if you do that, that's pretty cool. I guess it's cool too. I don't know.
I feel like I heard some DM somewhere say that. And I, on a podcast too, I was like, hey, that's what I do. It seems very natural to just be driving in the car and be like, I'm Izmark Idronovich. It is a pleasure to meet you.
Gosh, I hate Izmark. I hate him.
But the one of the sticking points or problems that I'm having with Curse of Strahd is that I don't have a lot of range doing a single Eastern European accent. And so
there's a slightly higher one for the females.
Yeah. I do a little higher register for female characters. But I often, when multiple NPCs have to talk, I often feel like I'm just using the same voice.
Well, I think for us, it really works. Now, if you were doing like the single player Star Wars game, that would not work. Yeah. You know, if you had to play three crew members all arguing with one another. Yeah. That would be really confusing, but there's very rarely times. I mean, it's Barovia is like a really kind of sparsely populated, bleak place, and most people don't want to talk to us. And this, that kind of works out well for you.
Yeah, and I mean, there was the time when we were in the larger town where there was a lot of people to keep track of in my head. I am looking forward to. Exploring a bit more of the open countryside and not having to do as many voices or being able to do voices from people who might not have Barovian accents. So that's always a plus.
Right.
I'd just like to be able to talk once in a while. You guys don't let me.
by the way, when you listen to the podcast, this is exactly how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff and I talk for a very long time. And then Ken says something hilarious. Half the time we don't hear it. And then listening back, we just die laughing. And it's like, how did I not hear that? But yeah, this is pretty much exactly how this works. We're waiting for Ken to say something.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, it's my turn now? Wow, I've never experienced this. I don't know what to say. Totally put on the spot.
It's rough, right?
Oh,
we're doing tough, you a yeah. favor.
So there was this one time. Oh, look, a chicken.
Yeah. All right. So the last thing I want to hit on is, you know, y'all, actually both of you have more Dungeons & Dragons experience than me. And while I've listened to a lot of actual play podcasts, y'all also have more experience than me in that area. And so I kind of want to ask what sets Dice and Dreary apart. And the first part's going to be a gimme because this is the thing that, you know, that I think we have that if we didn't have it would make this not worthwhile at all. It doesn't matter the kind of production value of it. And that is the three of us like really work well together. I think, we play off of each other really well. The characters are really interesting, and I think that we're interesting kind of as players as well. And that's kind of the main thing I look for when I'm listening to actual play podcasts is, do I actually like these people? And some of them are pretty high production value, but I just don't like anybody, and so I stop listening.
That sounds pretty good. Pretty good assessment.
Hopefully everybody agrees. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta like the characters you're listening to. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
It's just like watching a movie where you can't relate to anyone, or they're just not interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I think what else we have going for this as well is I don't, of the very few of the actual play podcasts that I've heard of, that I've been able to hear, I don't think are either taking this approach of kind of like a hybrid, our own campaign, but also a pre-published campaign. So I definitely, I've said it, you know, earlier in this podcast, and I think you'll, in the next couple sessions, and for listeners, 10 episodes down the road, 14 episodes down the road, when things start to, usually in my campaign, start to take that left turn off of the book and go do its own thing. And I reach for the book less and less. And so I'm hoping that, people want to, you know, Curse of Strahd's been out for a while. I'm sure a lot of people have played it, have know the story. So I'm hoping that we can bring a new kind of telling of that story out there, and maybe there'll be you know, other people playing the game, other DMs listening that want to use some of the ideas here. A lot of the ideas I've taken from other adventures I've read, other DMs I've seen run different games. So I'm hoping that our unique take on this story is going to be interesting.
You can only use Jeff's idea if you support him on Patreon.
Yes. That's the $50 a month donation level.
Yeah. Then that's the only way you can legally put a dog in the Curse of Strahd is to pay Jeff $50.
After all of these episodes that we record, I write down what happened and then I mail it to myself. That's how you copyright something.
Poor man copyright. Oh, I had so many things like that. Oh, well, Ken, anything that stands out to you as kind of special about the show?
Well, one thing I noticed is I think we do a good job of staying on point. There's not a whole lot of off-topic table talk going on.
Oh, like the players. Because the characters get off track all the time.
Oh, we don't really have a track. That probably helps.
We don't know what we're doing.
As players, we're in the game, and we don't, you know, we're not chatting about the football game last night or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a lot of actual plays will go off on a tangent, and it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
Now, we do throw in our little Easter eggs and quotes. And those, I think, are kind of fun. They don't slow down the action at all.
I've given up quoting classic rock and Roger Zelazny, but there's a lot of them in there. I just won't do that anymore.
I recently did edit episodes where I realized that Sprocket was quoting Eagle songs well beyond the joke. There was the initial joke and that Sprocket made. That was the Eagle song. And then I think I heard three or four others that I'd missed while we were playing that I heard again.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad I missed it. I've had a long day and I hate the Eagles. Sorry. The one thing I was going to add is I just really, really love the way this podcast sounds when it all comes together. And, Jeff has just dumped work into this, and it really shows. I can't believe what you've let me get away with music wise, because this is supposed to be like Victorian Gothic, and I think you told me to do something Victorian and Gothic. And I said, well, how about synthwave? And you put it in there anyway?
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's, you know, I think it's working. And, you know, the sound design that you're coming up with has just been just top notch, very cool, very well balanced, and really kind of, you know, gets when I'm listening back to it, it's getting me involved, even though I know exactly what's happening. So I've been very impressed with
it. Thank you. That's what I'm trying to go for, I really enjoy doing sound. I don't think I'm particularly good at it. I feel like I've got a lot to learn, and I think listeners will hear a difference over the span of it as I learn more about the program I'm using and about mixing, and I record more more sound effects. Up until this point, the episode I'm working on now, episode 5, is the one I'm finishing in the next few days. This will be the first episode where the entire soundscape and sound effects are all done by me.
Oh, wow.
Before that, I've used Tabletop Audio, which I should give them a quick shout out. If you if you want sound effects even in your home games, Tabletop Audio at tabletopaudio.com is a great resource, and they have graciously let podcasters use their sounds. As well as Sirenscape, which is a little more robust pay service. Tabletop Audio, it's donation only. Sirenscape, you actually buy samples, but they also allow you to use their sound effects in podcast limited license kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've used them just because I didn't have the time or knowledge or skill set to do that, and I've dove into it a little bit, and am now doing that for this upcoming 5th episode. Not using any pre-built sound effects, creating them all from scratch, or pulling out raw sound effects from sound libraries that I own.
That's really neat. Yeah, I didn't realize that I knew that you were starting your own, but I didn't realize that you had gone 100% on the latest one. That's cool. I mean, it's a lot of work, but you know, I think.
Yeah, it definitely is. I seem to be very good at making more work for myself. So,
oh, good. Well, look who you're talking to. You know, I went from a theme song to a complete album that will be available on iTunes.
And I'm just thinking, what kind of things can I do in game to make you have to create new sounds?
Kid's gonna start a circus in the game just to make me write circus music.
And then, how do you spell that?
And then immediately, and then immediately break it up and do something else. It's like, no, we need a new song for this. Oh, wow. So yeah, I like the where we are in recording. We've come to a nice break point, and I did realize that I have 14 songs, where whatever episode we just finished is going to be kind of volume one of the soundtrack. But there's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to be releasing, on the Patreon site. And so, when the stuff starts, and if you dig that, first go to my Patreon page and support me there. And then if you have any extra money, then go to Dice and Jury one.
Yes. Which hopefully will be set up by Friday.
Nice. Okay, so if you cannot find Dice and Dreary, because a lot of podcast fans know this, but not all of the cataloging companies, you know, go the same speed on adding podcasts to their list. And so if you cannot find it Friday, please go over to diceanddreary.com. And, you know, the episode will be there that you can check out. Particularly Apple is very slow on adding podcasts. And I think we were on their second week before they got ours done. It might've just been a few days, but, if you cannot find it today, it is there. You just need to be patient.
All the episodes will be on diceanddreary.com, mm-hmm. As well as any news or info that we have about the podcast or the show. Diceanddreary.com.
Great. So yeah, I hope y'all would check it out. It is, we've gotten to listen to several episodes now, and I think it's really good. And so I'm really proud to be a part of this.
Excellent.
And apparently no one else is. That's okay.
There's just so much work. I've been having a blast doing this. Playing Dungeons and Dragons or any RPG is one of my favorite hobbies. I tend to have a lot of hobbies, but this one is the only one that actually sticks with me through my life. And I enjoy doing it. And I also enjoy making things, creating things and putting them out there. So this is kind of the best of both of those. So I'm very excited about it. Hoping it turns out great.
Great. So we'll have links to various things in the podcast notes, but I really appreciate y'all being on, and hoping that our listeners and viewers will be tuning in to that this week and get started on that one as well. And so, great. I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Sure.
Thank you.
And just a heads up for listeners, the music that has been, not only has the single played during the break, but the music we've been playing in the background is from Dice and Dreary. So we thought we'd give you a little flavor there. So, otherwise, thank you so much for tuning in. This song, the single is available on our Patreon at patreon.com/technofunkboy, and will also be available on the Dice and Dreary Patreon when that is up. So we will see you next week.
Bye.
See ya.
The Retro Zoo Super Show is brought to you by the Techno Funk Boy. Follow us on Twitter at Techno Funk Boy, on Facebook at the Techno Funk Boy, and sign up for our email list at technofunkboy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and gameplay clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. Unless you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can game later.